I'm thankful to be here tonight. To tell you the truth, as I was driving here, I felt the enemy put up some challenges along. I'm Brother Nguyen from Portland, Oregon. I received the Lord 8 years ago through the testimonies and the preaching of Brother Donnie Elwell in Clackamas, Oregon. 5 years ago, I was here for my sanctification. And in those since then, I've desired to serve the Lord. 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to do that. And I did it on the power of my own flesh. And the Lord taught me the most important lesson that a Christian can learn. You cannot serve God on the energy of your own flesh. These last 3 years, I've been seeking the Lord for power. And He's been faithful to that. Saints, I'm thankful that we share a common salvation tonight. And in that common salvation, we have the mind of Christ. And in that mind, we can be one accord tonight. That is needed. Because tonight, we're going to the enemy's camp. God desired to set some individuals captive free tonight. I'm burdened for the ministry, for the young people, and the challenge we face as more and more veterans of the cross leave us. I desire your prayer this evening for the authority of the scripture and the power of the Holy Ghost to declare a truth, an absolute truth, and not the idea, perspective, opinions, or facts of men. Turn with me to the 24th chapter of Luke, at the very end, the 44th verse. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you, why I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the laws of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me." And then he opened their eyes, their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and it shall behoove Christ to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. I'm curious tonight, how many of you are still standing on this promise that there's power coming from on high? Many of you, the Lord has opened your heart and your mind to understand the scripture. You understand His desire for your life. His desire for you to be sanctified and live holy in Jesus. But for many of us here tonight, we're still tarrying for power from on high. I think of the young people who are dealing with the problem of sin. And they see the older people living holy life. And they question their salvation. The same sin over and over again. And you wonder, when's the power coming? Some of us who are older in the ministry are looking around and seeing the changes in the world. And you wonder, when's the power coming? When is the ministry going to grow? When is the Lord going to send more minister? When is the gospel going to be preached to all nations? Some of us are still standing on that promise of power from on high. And in that waiting, you're attacked. The enemy comes and he brings doubts and he brings fear. And you question. You question God. You question His purpose. Is there really power from on high? We know from the scripture that it came in the beginning of Acts. But just because our eyes and our minds are open to the scripture and what it say, our reality can sometimes speak of different things, doesn't it? The reality is, we've forgotten the power. The power is here. It's a forgotten power. Turn with me So the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter, we're going to read the first 15 verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto godliness in life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides these, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Now in the Greek, in some translation, that means supplement to your faith. Supply ye unto your faith. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. For if these things be in ye and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lack these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Whereby, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and have been and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up in by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For that's the 15th verse. Tonight, I desire the power of the Holy Spirit to declare the truth in these 15 verses as it pertains to us and the experience we have of waiting for power on high. The topic tonight is Jesus and the message for God power. You see in the first two verses, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle. This word servant in the Greek means a doulos, a slave by choice. A slave by choice. Every Christian is called to serve to the Lord, but not every Christian will make them a slave by choice. And to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us, through righteousness of God and our Savior Lord Jesus Christ. This letter was written to those that have the same precious faith. It is written to you. You share the same precious faith as with Peter tonight. And the desire of this message is that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. That is God's desire for you. That his grace and his peace be multiplied in your life. And if you're waiting on power on high and you don't experience that, there's something wrong. God is faithful to his promise. According as his divine power, God revealed himself to you by his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue. God, in his divine power, has provided for us all the thing that you need for godliness and life. If in your experience today, church, you found yourself waiting for power on high to experience all the thing that pertained to godliness and to life, it's not because God hasn't provided already. You haven't taken it. We haven't taken it. The enemy is attacking you and you feel doubt and fear and the lack of God's power in your life. It's because of lack of faith to take what God has already given. Now we see in the fourth and the fifth verse, God shows us where all the thing that pertaineth ungodliness and life is found. First, is in his exceedingly great promises. That is the word of God. That is the word of God that was opened to the disciples' eye as they were later told to wait for power on high. Now, the purpose of these promises in the scripture is that you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption and lust of this world. This divine nature is the distinction between the Christian faith and all other religions. Other religion tells us you can go from bad to good to great. It is self-improvement. But what Jesus is saying is you can go from death unto life. There's the power. We go from light unto from darkness unto light. We don't go from good to better to best. That is not what God has given us. And besides these, now the fifth verse, here the fifth, sixth, and seventh verse tells you what you need to do. What you need to do to lay hold and grasp and possess these promises of God. And besides these, in proper translation of it, is for this very reason. This very reason. In the ancient Greek text, for this very reason. For this very reason, giving all diligence, make every effort. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness to charity. Notice, here's the thing. Here's why we look at the word of God and we find ourselves still waiting for power on high to deliver us from the things that cause doubt and fear. It's when you see a list of things in the scripture, our natural tendency is to make them a list of things to do. Return them to tasks, return them to projects, to programs. That's not what the scripture teach here. Add to your faith. It is not the work of man that bring us these things in our life. It is God through us, by his power, that we may be partaker of the divine nature. And you notice whenever in scripture there's a list of things, it tells you God's order of importance. And you see here the last thing on here, is once you obtain it, once you achieved it, you have obtained all the thing that God has for you as it pertains to godliness and to life. And that thing is love. And in our waiting, sometimes we wonder, do I really love my brother? Do I really love my sister? Do I love like Jesus? It is in that waiting that we start to assess our faith among the on this list. So when we do that, that we forget the power. Verse 4 gives us the promise. That is the word of God. Verse 5, 6, and 7. It's not about you going out there and doing things so that you can obtain godliness and life and all the things that God promised. What those verses really mean is, are you obedient to the promise of God, to the word of God? Faith in the word of God, obedience in life is how we achieve that. How we become partaker of the divine nature. And it is not through our own work, it is by God. Verse 8 gives us a sense of assurance. It gives you an assurance. If you have the promise of God, if you're a Christian today, God has exceeding great and precious gift promise for you. And it is by your obedience to the things that he promised and your faith that you can obtain those things. And here's the assurance in the 8th verse of what happens when we obey. For if these things be in you and abound, that they are in your life and they're growing, they're increasing. More knowledge, more understanding, more patience, more love. They make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many Christians today God has given promise to, but their lack of faith and disobedient because of that faith caused them to be unfruitful and barren in their knowledge of God. They've forgotten the power. Some of our young people today, they wonder, will God ever call me to ministry? Will God ever use me? He can, because all the thing that you need has been provided. The question is, have you taken them? Have you by faith taken them? Or are you finding yourself now like these disciples were, still tarrying for power from on high? And this experience of waiting for power on high affects our life and the way we go to church and the way we worship and the way we fellowship. Some of us are struggling with sin, because our faith has not allowed us to take the thing that God has promised. And in our unbelief, we start telling ourselves, I'll be holy when the power comes. I'll be holy when the power comes. And while you wait, the enemy attacks you. Your prayer life becomes barren and unfruitful, becomes out of obligations rather than communicating and connecting with your Savior. I'm speaking to someone tonight. You've forgotten the power. And here's how you know you've forgotten the power. Verse 9. But he that lacked these things are in verse 5, 6, and 7. Adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and love. These things. If you lack these things, then you are blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. I want to clarify tonight. It doesn't mean you're not saved. If you lack these things, but you put your faith in the cross, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Just because you're waiting for power on high to deliver you and give you the ability, the power to claim these promises of God, that does not mean that he doesn't love you. Because as we saw in the first two verses of this epistle, he's writing to people of the same precious faith. So it's possible to put your faith in Jesus Christ and still lack the thing that God has promised you in the scripture because of unbelief. And in unbelief, we start to manufacture holiness. We start to make plans and projects and to-do lists and devotional, thinking that that is what's going to bring godliness and life and the things that pertain to those things. It's not how it works. It's by faith. Wherefore, the rather, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, verse 5, 6, and 7. If you make every effort to add to your faith. Now, it can be confusing when it say add to your faith. Be diligent and add to your faith. It sounds as if God wants to work. That our holiness and our godliness is from our works. It's not what it's saying here. It is saying that the end goal, the perfection of it all, the claiming of all God's promise is in your faith, adding these things onto in your life. By the faith that you have, you seek the Lord, you endeavor to know him, and in the knowledge of him and the love that he pours out for you, you can add these things. They add to your life. And it's not a work. Make every effort, be diligent to seek the Lord. Desire his fellowship. Otherwise, you've forgotten the power. You've forgotten the power. You can go years. You can be successful in the Christian faith, and something happens. Some circumstance change. An older brother leaves, and you find yourself in despair and discouragement. Who's praying for me? I want to remind you tonight that Peter wrote this. He was a pillar of faith. He was a pillar of faith, and he's writing these things to remind us. And I find that especially appropriate in this time, as many congregations have lost a pillar of faith recently. But God wants to remind you tonight, don't forget the power. The power that worked in their life, the power that set them apart, the power that made them so important, valuable in your life, is the same power in your life. God has given it all. Have you taken it? Has your faith allowed you to take it? Or are you tearing for power from on high? He goes on. If you do these things, here's the greatest promise. Here's the greatest promise. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. There is a desire of the apostle tonight that you know who God is. You see that in the first couple of verses. He used the word knowledge of God 3 times. It is the knowledge of God that allows us to add these things into our faith. And the perfection of all is love. Not sister love, not brotherly love, not family love, not uncle love, but the love of God. Have you claimed that? Are you willing to die for your brother tonight? How burdened are you for the unsaved? How burdened are you for the young people, the unborn child? Now here Peter tells us in these last few verses the burden of his heart now that he's in old age. He said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. You know them. You know these things. You know the promises of God. Holiness, love, you know these things. That's what he desires for your life. Knowledge, virtue, patience. You know these things. But there need to be a reminder. There need to be a reminder. Like otherwise, you'll find yourself tearing and waiting for power on high to work these things into your life. Some of our young people, they know the scripture, but the challenge for them is to claim all that God promised. They need the faith to do so. Many don't, because they've forgotten the power. If you're curious tonight, where's the power? How do I remember the power? How do I remember the power that can bring these things into my life, cause me to come more into perfection and completeness in the love of God, in my knowledge of Him, that I don't become unfruitful and ineffective in my knowledge of Him? The answer is in the 9th verse at the end. Have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You've forgotten that you've been purged from your old sins. Doesn't mean you're not saved anymore. Don't let your mind, don't let the enemy go there. That's not what it means. Because Peter's writing to those with the same precious faith. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. What he's saying here, you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. What he's telling you, young people, listen up tonight. You've forgotten the power that sets you free. You've forgotten the cross. You've forgotten the love that was shed abroad for you. The love that's poured out for you to set you free, that you may know the truth and it set you free. You've forgotten that. Do you remember the day when you were set free? All the things that caused your mind to doubt and to wonder if there is a God, but by the faith, you found it. Do you remember that power that set you free and the lightness of that you feel in your soul? You're forgiven? You experience that power. The power of the cross. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Abide in that. Sometimes you wonder, well, how do I know if I've forgotten the power? Because you lack these things in your life. You lack these things. And what you do is you become spiritually blind to the reality that God is love. That's what I need to be. And you start to wait. You start to tarry. You start to be complacent. And next thing you know, you can't think. You can't see things that are far off. We look at someone dying in the congregation and we start going, that's the end of the world. ministry. We need revival. No. No. Don't start to think of the things now. Use your faith. Look afar off. Otherwise, you're going to be making plans. You're going to be starting project and thinking that is your consecration to God. He wants you to remember the power. Remember what he did for you. The day you asked for forgiveness. The day he set you free. Look at that. Experience the law that was poured out in that. And add to your faith. Get to know this one that set you free. And as you know him, you start to see his beauty, his majesty, his love, and his mercy. And in that, it inspired, caused growth in your patience, in your virtue, in your brotherly love and charity. Don't forget that power tonight, church. We've forgotten the cross. Don't forget the cross. Take it with you every day. I want to share with you a testimony. I was burdened with this message a couple weeks ago. I had other plans. I wasn't going to go to Monarch. But the Lord spoke. And he burdened my heart. And as I was cleaning out my stuff at home in Portland, Oregon, I stumbled upon this old document that I typed up 11 years ago. I want to remind you, I got saved 8 years ago. This letter say, "Dear parents or guardian, every year Portland High School District picks out students of the sophomore level or higher to be a part of the annual outdoor school program. This program promotes good outdoor learning experience among young high school scholar and sixth grader in the Portland area." Long story short, this is a permission slip to go be a counselor for outdoor school. I typed it and I gave it to my parents to sign so I could go. Where I really went to was the prom after party. And as I was preparing for this message, and I was like, "Lord, do you really want me to preach this?" And I stumbled upon this, and he spoke to me. He said, "That's you, son. That was you, son. That was you, son. But now you're in Christ. You're in me. Remember the power that set you free. Remember the cross. Remember my love for you. And from that reality, live your life." Remember that power tonight, church. Ministers can come and go. It is God's will. But you, remember that power. Remember that you were purged from your own sin. There's the power. Live by that. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. "For whosoever denied the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised." What did you hear from the beginning? John, in his last days, he wants this Christian. I want to give the young people context tonight. First John was written near the end of John's life. And the churches in Ephesus there was this movement called the Gnostic movement. They start to desire something more than Jesus. Something more. They don't want Jesus 101 anymore. They want something superior. They want something better. They want angel visitation. They want more prophecy. They want more dream, more visions. And John heard rumors that people were leaving the church because they thought they have graduated from the cross. So he wrote this letter, 1 John. And here's the context. There's, you get the context with these two verses here. "Whosoever denied the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also." You notice in the opening of this epistle, he say, that which from the beginning that we have heard, that we have touched, and we now proclaim to you, he's saying, that which from the beginning. Remember the power from what you heard in the beginning. There's power in that. Remember it and let it abide in you. Let the love of God that was shed abroad upon your heart be poured out. every day. And in that, you start to see how much God loves you. And it inspires your faith. And with that faith, you can add on virtue, knowledge, patience. The Lord desires to set some individuals. Remember the cross. Whatever sin, whatever struggle, whatever anxiety, whatever problem you're dealing with, the cross is superior. Remember that power. Don't forget that power. You hear preaching on faith and joy and all these things, but don't forget the power that makes those things available to you. The Lord's desire to encourage you tonight, but He also wants to comfort His. Turn back with me to 2 Peter, the 12th. Don't realize He's going to die, but His death is according to the will of God. Tonight, there's some individuals who are looking to feel like there's darkness and clouds and days ahead, both in ministry, in their congregation, in their life, even in their fellowship. God wants to comfort you tonight. Death of a saint is the will of God. We don't lose when you die. Death is not a concession. By the promise of God, all the precious promises of God that He's given us, we have this reality that in His love, in His mercy, and in the cross, we can live. We can live life for life. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And you do not know which one to choose. That is His desire for our life. That all the cross, by the cross and the promise of His word, that's what He wants you to have. Is to have that experience with God. That whatever circumstances come your life, neither death nor life, whatever it is, you can say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I don't know which to choose. And when you have that experience in your life, you can really say that. And that is the testimony of your life. You will be fruitful and effective in your knowledge of God. The reality is, every Christian is called to be a... But what you see in that passage was in the first chapter of Mark. Every Christian is called to be fishers of men. But what you see in the fifth chapter of Luke, after that event, Peter said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. After he caught some fish. And what did Jesus say to him? From this day forth, you will catch men. In between the calling, that beginning that you've heard, to the day that you catch fish, there is a time where every Christian is called to be a fisher of men, but not every Christian will catch men. And that's what it means you will fail, you will fall. It's not saying you're going to lose your salvation. It's not saying you're not a Christian anymore. He's writing to those with like faith. He's writing to Christian. He's telling you, being ineffective and unfruitful in your knowledge of God is failure. Because you were called to be fishers of men, but you didn't catch any. If you catch some, then He tells you here, there will be a kingdom of heaven and minister unto you in that day. Many of the old saints who've gone by, I think of Brother Steve Elwell, Leslie Busby. I remember meeting him 5 years ago. He had an impact on my life because... Not because of his knowledge of Scripture, not because he was up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but I remember my conversation with him by his cabin 5 years ago. I was trying to understand the book of Revelation. I was a young man then. I was carnal. I wanted to understand knowledge and information and fact about God. But I sat down with Leslie Busby, and I said, hey, can you show me Revelation? He said, okay, let's go. Let's go sit. We sat at his cabin, and as he opened up the book of Revelation, every few verses, he said, oh, thank God. Oh, thank Jesus. And I, in my youthfulness, I'm like, yes, God's great. Revelation, please. But he kept looking out into the field with a gaze in his heart. A love for God. And I see there, I missed it. It's not about facts. It's not about information. It's about the knowledge of God and His love for you. It's about remembering the cross. It's remembering that power. Don't wait. Don't tarry. The power is here. You've just forgotten it. Claim your victory tonight. What are you dealing with? What give you worries about the future? Remember that power. Remember that cross. Though this letter was written, it was written to people of the same like faith. In it, it's hope for you tonight who are here who have not received that same like faith. If you're here tonight and you want to know God, you're wondering, what is this? What is the, all these things? What promise does God have for me tonight? God have room for you tonight. You come on down and you experience that power, and don't you ever forget it. What's keeping you? Why are you tarrying? Is it because your friend's going to think you're different? Welcome to the club. If you went out the Lord today and you're tired of trying to add on virtue and patience and love and all these things, trying to be better pushing by your own self-effort tonight, God want to tell you there's a better way. You can settle. You can wait for self-improvement. Going from bad to good to better. Or tonight by faith you receive that power and you go from death unto life. He's speaking to somebody tonight. Don't forget that power, church. Don't forget that power. You pray for me.